If you have your Bibles, please turn with me in your Bibles to our scripture reading for this day, and this is found in the book of Philippians. It's Philippians chapter 3, and I'm reading verses 7 to 14. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 7, and just to give a little bit of background here, we've been studying in 2 Corinthians about how Paul had to deal with the fact that there were many who didn't feel that he qualified as an apostle. And he had to remind the believers of that time what God had not only called him to be, which was an apostle, but the struggles that he had to go through. And when people said that he wasn't qualified, he would remind them, this is who I am. This is where I have been before I came to this place. And this, beginning in verse 7, is his, I didn't want to go all the way back to verse 1, but this is what it says, Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. And not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus had made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And may God add to understanding this portion from his holy word. Well, here we are, New Year's Day, right at the beginning of a brand new year. It's never been used before. And we get the opportunity now to live each of these days according to our purpose. You know, this is the end of our holidays for a while. I know some of you are breathing a sigh of relief, especially those of you with small children. Thank you, Lord. You helped us through all this time. And hopefully things will begin to return to some semblance of normality. You know, probably some of you are taking down or have taken down all of your decorations, and your house is starting to look like it used to look. And you know, everything seems to be returning slowly back to normal. You know, it has been a strange holiday season. We've endured many things, including probably the coldest Christmas on record in Asheville. But now we can look forward to a new year, something new. And you know, as we enter into this new year, I'm sure that you've heard, as I have heard, all of the gloom and doom predictions that are out there about what's going to happen in the year 2023, about the food shortages, about financial problems, about all these things. And they're saying, oh, 2023, you're going to have to really be careful. You know, I even saw a cartoon the other day, which really kind of amazed me. But all these people were hiding behind this corner, and they were peering around the edge of the corner. And down at the end of the hallway, there was a door, and they had this long stick, and they were pushing on the door to open it. And on the door, it said 2023. And it kind of gives the impression that, you know, there are people that are very apprehensive about what's going to happen in this coming year. And the past several years has caused us to be apprehensive. You know, we all want to believe that somehow or another, this year is going to be better than the one before, because we've been through a couple of tough years, a couple of hard times. So we've endured things that we thought would never happen to us here in America, and yet we've seen it happen. And we know that things are taking place right now that makes us wonder, well, how are these things going to develop? What's going to take place? And it's not unusual for us in times like this to feel somewhat insecure. You know, in some ways, it helps us better identify with the apostles and what the apostles were going through in the first century. I mentioned Paul and the issues that Paul had to face on a regular basis. In fact, he even shares some of what he went through, and I'm going to read some of that for you. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We were looking at this just a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday night. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 to 27, and it says this: five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. These three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. So this is the Apostle Paul that we're talking about, somebody that wrote a good portion of the New Testament in his letters to the churches. And so we think, well, my goodness, if God was using somebody to that degree, why would he ask him to go through all that he went through? Well, maybe little by little we can begin to identify with Paul and with the New Testament Christians. They were going through everything that we're currently going through. And yet, in Philippians, the book of Philippians, seven times Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. So, you know, we have to step back and say, well, Paul, when you're facing all of this on a daily basis, how in the world can you get through it, let alone rejoice in it? We see, I think that he gave us direction in Scripture. And he showed us how we can approach the year 2023. And today's the first day, so it's a great time for us to consider these things. His life was full of turmoil, but in verses 13 and 14 of our text, the passage that I read to you just a little bit ago, it says this, verses 13 and 14, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I feel like this is something that we need to consider right now as we put 2022 behind us and as we begin a new year, not only as individuals, but as a congregation. We need to be thinking about these things. When he says forgetting what lies behind, we have to forget, put behind us the negatives, the mistakes, the failures, the painful experiences. We have to, even though sometimes those things will come to mind, we can't allow the pain of 2022 to carry over into 2023. Sometimes people will allow the past to control the future. Sometimes it's maybe a misspoken word or an act that was hurtful, something that took place, and it keeps coming back to mind and coming back to mind, and we carry that, we hold those things, and we allow it to affect us in the way that we look at the future. Some time ago, I heard a preacher who preached a sermon, and the title of it was Let It Go. And this whole sermon was about the fact that all of us go through difficult times. We all have problems. We all have strained relationships. All of us. And what we need to do is to have the ability to forgive those things, to put them to rest, and to let it go. Let it go so that it doesn't affect us in the future. And again, all of us struggle with these things. But we should look at this new year and forget about those problems in the past and begin to look from day one, from January the 1st, today, and look forward. Forget those things in the past. You know, sometimes we just feel like, I've got to hold on to that, because if I don't hold on to that, that person is going to get away with it. No. No. You see, that's why we're told, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Because if somebody was ugly to us, or somebody was rude to us, or somebody did a hurtful thing, and we think, well, if I just forgive them and go on as if nothing happened, well, then they're not going to understand how painful that was for me. Well, they don't necessarily have to understand that, because God understands it, because Jesus understands it, and he says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. People don't get away with anything. We can look out right now at our country and we can see people that are doing things that are despicable. They are hateful. They are treasonous. We don't have to worry about that. You know why? Because God sees it. Do we really honestly believe they're going to get away with it? No, they're not going to get away with it. Everything they're doing, they'll have to give an account for. And they will suffer. Sometimes in this life, they will suffer the penalty of the wrong that they're doing. We don't have to worry about that. So we can just let it go. Let it go. Walk in newness, walk in freshness in this new year. You know, we can also forget sometimes about not just the negative things, but also about the positive things, maybe some of the victories, some of the successes that took place in the year 2022 or prior to that, years before. And it's always difficult when we say, well, you know, back 20 years ago, I did such and such, and boy, it was really great. Yeah, I'm sure it was great. Yeah, and I'm sure it was a great blessing. But we can let go of that too, because God has blessed us for that. And now he has new blessings for us. He has new opportunities for us. He has new ways that he can use us in 2023 that maybe we haven't even considered up until now. But if we're tied to the old successes, we may never get that opportunity. So Paul says, forgetting what lies behind. Yeah, there were good things and there were very difficult things. But today's a new day. And today, I'm going to give it all my heart. And that's the next thing he says. He says, forgetting what lies behind. And then he says, and straining forward to what lies ahead. Now, that's a great illustration. It's talking about an ability to look at the future with all of God's possibilities and not all of the world's negatives. The future is as bright as the promises of God. And so it's like we're almost chomping at the bit to get to 2023 to see what God has for us as individuals, as families, as churches. Because God's heart is to bless. It's not to discourage us. In fact, we're even told, don't lose heart in doing good, for if you don't lose heart, you'll reap the reward. So Paul gives us this word here. He says, like straining forward. And so much of what Paul says in his letters has to do with sports and with athletics. And the picture that he gives here is the runner who is about to cross the finish line. And there's somebody very close to him. And so he's doing everything, or she's doing everything she or he can to get there first. That's the straining forward. That's the picture that's given. I saw on the internet a couple days ago of this race. It was a woman's, I don't know if it was 900 meter or whatever. It was a longer race and a college event. And this young woman from the starting line tripped and fell flat. And of course, everybody else just took off like rockets. And she got herself up and she started to run. Now she was a good ways away from the crowd. And it shows a picture of her, how she ran. And after the first lap, she was still way behind. The second lap, she was gaining. The third lap, every lap, she was gaining and gaining until she got all the way up to the front. And she was competing for the leader. And it shows, it zeroed in on her face, and it shows this tremendous look of intensity. And she was able to stretch out, and she crossed the finish line first. And the stands just erupted because they knew what it took for her to do that. See, that's the picture that Paul's giving us about 2023. Straining forward. We're not just complacent. We're not just letting life live us. We're living life. This is how we're supposed to view the coming year. You know, how is that possible that we can do that? Well, it's possible only because our faith is in God. It's not in our circumstances, whatever your circumstances may be. We're told to walk by faith and not by sight. We can look around and see all kinds of problems and struggles and difficulties and things that may hinder us from doing what we feel God's calling us to do. Don't you think Paul felt that way? I mean, after the second or third beating, don't you think he'd be saying, you know, I think somebody else needs to do this. I've about had this. You know, I'm tired of shipwrecks. I'm tired of all these things. You know, let somebody else do this for a while. I'm sure he felt that way. But he said, no, I'm going to forget all that stuff. And I'm going to strain forward. I'm going to purpose in my heart to be everything God has called me to be. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what the hurdles, no matter what the problems, I'm going to give it everything I can give it. God alone holds the future. God alone knows tomorrow. None of us do. And he says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, and they're plans for good and not for evil. And people say, wait a minute, he said that to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29, 11 to 13. Well, if he only said it to Jeremiah, why did it appear in Scripture? That's for God's people. I know the plans that I have for you, and they're plans for good. Now, the world has plans for you too, but they're not for good. And if you let the world determine your future, it will not be good. But if you trust in the Lord, if you give 2023 to him, surrender to him, then his plans will be made manifest in your life. They'll be good. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. So he says, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal. Now, you know, this is a time when people make their resolutions, New Year's resolutions. I'm going to resolve in 2023 to... typically, I'm going to at least lose 10 pounds this year. That's the typical goal. And that's why you can't watch television now and not see commercials for equipment. I think Peloton has probably made more commercials that they put out in the first of the year than any other company. But they know that people are making up their minds now about how they're going to live 2023. And so it's all about food and diet and exercise equipment and whatever, because they're trying to tap in to that market. People are making New Year's resolutions, and the problem is that those resolutions don't typically last very long. The typical New Year's resolution lasts about 2 weeks, and then people go back to normal, go back to the way they were before. The problem is the resolve doesn't last long. But instead of worldly goals, I think the Lord has called us to spiritual goals. You know, in verse 10 of our text this morning, this is what Paul said. I believe this was his resolution right here in verse 10. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and I may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And Paul was saying, this is my purpose. This is why I'm struggling and straining forgetting what lies behind and straining forward so I can be like Jesus, so I can be like him. I want to know him. You know, there are many people that know about him, but do they really know him? Like somebody said, it could be like somebody giving you a candy bar, and you look at it and say, oh, I know that candy bar. That's a Three Musketeers. I know that candy bar very well. I know it's chocolate on the top. It's got nougat inside. But you could know everything about it, but you don't know that candy bar until you put it in your mouth and you eat it, until you taste it. It's the same thing with Jesus. He said, I am the bread of life. Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no part of my kingdom. To know him, to know the power of his resurrection in our lives. You know, here's the truth. We will go through difficult times in 2023. There's no doubt about it. But you know what? God already knows that. Jesus already knows that. And he's saying, put your faith and your trust in me, and I'll take you through that. Many people are concerned right now about the numbers of deaths that are taking place. And you hear about it every day. Famous people, well-known people. But you know what? Jesus said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's where we put our faith and our trust. We put it in Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. We trust in him to know him and the power of his resurrection. That's what Paul said. And also to share in his sufferings, the difficulties and the struggles with the world that we live in. This is not our home. There is a home for us, and we will go there. We'll go there because our Lord has promised it. I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may go also. There is a place for us to go, but it's not here. This is not our home. And while we're here, we're going to share in his sufferings to some degree or another. So, you know, this all sounds good, but it almost sounds like pie in the sky. How do you put legs on all this? How do you live it out in your life? Well, I think that this is something that the early church tried to work out. I think they tried to look at this and say, well, how are we supposed to do this? They were listening to the teachings of the apostles. It's like, well, now, how are we supposed to live this out on a day-by-day basis? And so they worked out a system. And the system is found here in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And this is what they did. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Those four different areas. The apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and a prayer. That's how they put legs on the teaching of the apostles. And what does that actually mean? Well, first of all, I believe that they purposed in their heart to learn as much as they could about God. And they learned it from the apostles' teaching, which we now have as the New Testament. And the apostles were teaching not just what we call the New Testament, but it was all coming out of the Old Testament. So what we're talking about here is the Bible. It's talking about Scripture. And you know, the truth of the matter is the Bible is one of the most forgotten books in Christianity. People will read any other book, but taking time to sit down and read the Word of God and study the Word of God, you know, people are reading books like Mein Kampf and books that are huge, 2,000 pages or whatever, and they don't think that much about it. But to read the Bible all the way through, well, that's like almost impossible. We can live 40, 50, 60 years and never read the Bible all the way through one time. Well, I think that the Lord is calling us in 2023 as his people to study his word, to get into the Bible, to get into Scripture. I printed some of these off. this is a through, it's actually through the New Testament, not just the whole Bible, but it's through the New Testament. That's a good place to start. But it's actually 260 days. You can read a chapter a day, and by the end of 260 days, you've read through the entire New Testament. There are other studies, things like this, that you can get, that you can read through the whole Bible in 1 year. And, you know, you have to ask yourself, okay, what's the time commitment here? How long does it take me to read Luke chapter 1? 15, 20 minutes, maybe? Read through it. Read through the scriptures consistently. Get to know the Lord. Get to know what he says. Don't just listen to what somebody else is telling you. Let God's Spirit tell you. Now, that's what the New Testament Christians were doing. They were devoting themselves to these things. That's how they were spending their time, devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. And it says they were also devoting themselves to fellowship. The word there is koinonia. And what it means is common ownership. It means that they were sharing things in common. And it wasn't just their possessions. It was their heart. These are my brothers and sisters. This is my family. Now, I don't know about you, but when we had to call off church last Sunday, Christmas Day, it was so painful. It just hurt. Because I knew I wasn't going to get to see any of you that day. You know, thankfully I have a good wife and I spent time with her, but, you know, didn't get to see any of you. And that was very painful. Why? Because we're a family. And because we love each other and because we miss one another when we're not together. That's what he's talking about here, devoting ourselves to those moments, those times when we can be together. What would happen if all of a sudden we had to shut down forever? We have the opportunity now to come together Sunday morning for Sunday school, for church, Wednesday for Bible study, other times possibly during the week. Maybe having people over at your home or meeting them somewhere just to have fellowship together. It's important. So we have devoting ourselves to God's word. We have fellowship with one another. Then it says in worship, in the breaking of bread, which can be a reference to either sharing common meals together, like our fellowship luncheons and things like that, but also it could be the Lord's Supper, times of worship, when we truly come together just for the purpose of lifting up his name. That was important to them, needs to be important to us. And then to prayer, the amount of time that we spend in prayer, it is so vital. How can we prepare ourselves to face the world, especially the world that's coming down the road, full blast at us right now? How can we stand against them if we're not strengthened in prayer? You know, when Paul told the Ephesians, stand firm, put on each piece of armor that he talked about, spiritual armor. And he told them, put on each piece with prayer. Prayer is so vital. It's what helps us stand strong in those terrible times. You know, and I know, that if you faced a tragedy in your life, hopefully your first reaction would be to cry out to the Lord. We need to be crying out to the Lord daily, calling upon him, setting aside time to be with the Lord. Now see, these are the feet of what Paul is telling us. This is what we have to do to make it real, to make it alive, especially for the coming year. And I believe there's one other thing that's vitally important for all of us. And that's found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. And this is what Paul says. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, let your mind dwell on such things. And I have to share with you, especially in 2022, I feel like I've spent too much time watching the news, reading about what's happening, what people are doing, the undercurrent, what's happening around the world. And it's easy to get sucked into that and to let that dominate your thinking. And the more you dwell on those things, the worse life becomes. And I think what Paul was saying was, oh yeah, all those things are out there. Those things are happening, but why do we have to know about it? Oh, I don't want to be an ostrich. I don't want to stick my head in the sand. No, you don't. But do we need to dwell on it, to look at those things constantly, because all they do is tear us down? We're going to see God at work. We're going to see his hand at work in 2023, and that's what we need to focus on. We need to dwell on those things that build up and not the things that tear down. There's no doubt, as I said, that we're going to go through some hard times in 2023, and that we will have trouble. But you see, the Lord says, Jesus told his disciples, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He's overcome our problems in 2023 already. And now we need to put our faith and our trust in him. We need to look to him as our Savior and as our strength. Let's bow as we pray. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, again, I thank you that you've called us to this place. January 1st, 2023, we have a whole year in front of us. And Lord, I pray that we would purpose in our hearts, even as Paul purposed in his heart, that we would forget what lies behind, that we would strain forward to what lies ahead, and that we would press on to the goal of the upward call of Christ. Father, I pray and ask that that would be our New Year's resolution today, that we might surrender ourselves to you. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Now, if you would, please turn in your hymnals to number 64. We will sing the first two verses, and then we'll sing the third one after the benediction. Please stand and join me. 64, like the river glorious.
Please bow for the benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you. Amen.